All right. Probably about 10, 15 minutes or so, we're going to be doing baptisms. This is, as those that attend here regularly, you know this is probably one of my favorite services that we do as a congregation, is when we're baptizing people that have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's just an exciting thing because it's a step of obedience. It's them saying, we've made this decision to Jesus Christ, and we're celebrating that decision, and we're displaying that that proclamation that we've made to Jesus Christ to other people. So I love this service, but before we kind of get into talking about baptism and all that, I want us to continue just for a few minutes this morning in the study that we've been going through in the book of Ephesians. God has a way of lining up things in our calendars and our schedules, and he did that for this particular service well before I knew that we were kind of doing this book of Ephesians study and the baptism, and it was all going to come together this Sunday. Well, it's interesting how God works. As I was starting to prepare for today's service, here are some of the verses that we are looking at today. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works so that nobody can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That particular verse, those three verses, the first two, verse 8 and 9, that's almost the gospel story in like 30 words kind of thing. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the good news of Christ. It's the whole idea, the concept of coming to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And that there's nothing that we can do to earn that. But it's this gift because of the grace of God when we have faith in Him. The gospel is good news. The gospel tells us how we can be saved as children of Jesus Christ. Let's pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and I thank you for this time of worship this morning. I thank you for the ability that we have, the freedom that we have to come together and to worship you and to celebrate today as we have these three individuals that have made commitments to Christ in their journeys of life. But today they're saying, I want to mark this decision I've made, whether it was years ago or days ago, I want to mark this decision by being obedient through baptism. So as we open your word, Lord God, and we talk about salvation for a few minutes, that's the first piece to what's taking place today, is each one of these individuals have done exactly what we're talking about. They've given their lives to Jesus Christ. They've been saved through your grace. So as we open your word and we study about that just for a few minutes and then transition into a time of baptism, may we please and glorify and honor you in our time together. May your word speak into our lives. There may be some here today that have never given their life to Christ, and this is all new to them. And may your Holy Spirit speak into their lives today as well. Maybe there's some here today that have never taken that step of obedience of being baptized as a follower of Christ. And maybe you'll speak into their life and say, you know what, this is something that I need to do. I need to be obedient to this command that God gives. So Lord God, however it is that you choose to work today, I just pray for you to work in this place. We pray in your holy name. Amen. I think some people think of salvation kind of like the card that you get. I'm going to guess most of us have played the game Monopoly, right? And that one card that you get is the get out of jail free card. I think that some of us, unfortunately, at times in our lives, we think of salvation kind of like that get out of jail free card. We take it, we tuck it away in our back pocket, and then when we need it, we pull it out. But that's not helpful to us as we live our lives on a day-to-day basis. Salvation is so much more than just pulling the card out when we need it in that moment. Scripture has a much more comprehensive view of salvation. When we are saved, when we give our life to Jesus Christ, we are saved from wasting our potential and missing what God intends for us. And we are saved for the fullness of the life God has for us. Salvation takes us from death to life. Beginning when we give our lives to Christ, it takes us from this road that's headed to death to a road that has life and is headed for even greater life on the other side of eternity. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're looking at today. If you're using one of the church Bibles, you're going to find it on page 827. Ephesians chapter 2, if you're joining us just today, you're here as a guest for one of the candidates that's being baptized. That's awesome. We're just 3 weeks into this study now, so we're picking up at Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, it really begins with God identifying what is wrong with us apart from Christ. So starting at verse 1, reading the first three verses here, it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and in the and of the ruler of the kingdoms of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." So in this passage, we see that we were dead in our transgressions and our sins. Transgressions is kind of like the slipping up, and sins is missing the target altogether, right? Your life wasn't on track, is what we're being told here. When Paul says that we were dead, he implies that we were unable to do the right thing. We weren't living according to God's word and God's plan for our lives. Too often in our humanness, we tend to go with the flow of whatever is happening around us, even when the flow is simply going down the toilet. Sometimes it gets even worse. Our passage talks about walking in the ways of the world and following the ruler of the kingdom of the air. This part of the passage refers to the rulers of the air as evil spirits. And Paul focuses on the chief evil ruler, which is Satan himself. In verse 3, he says, "All of us were gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its passions and thoughts." Paul's talking about the times when we say to ourselves, "Why did I do that? Should have known better. I don't want to be like that." It's not a pretty picture in these first three verses of humanity because it's without Christ. In fact, the diagnosis in these first three verses is deadly, but then comes verse 4. And verse 4 begins with this one little three-letter word, this word that brings such great hope to all of us. It's a really, really good word in this situation, and it's that word, but. So there's all this sin that we have fallen to, but, he goes on to say. And we pick up in verse 4. It says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." The good news is that God loves people who are dead in sin, according to this passage. God loves people who are walking in the ways of the evil world and even walking with evil itself. God loves people who are following their own passions. God loves people who deserve, unfortunately, the realities of sin, which is hell. God doesn't just feel compassion for them. He lifts them out of their misery. Verses 4 and 5 say that we were dead in sin, going with the flow of evil, when God gave us new life in Jesus Christ. He gave us new life through a relationship with Jesus. God makes us alive by joining with us. If we continue on in that passage, verse 6 and 7, it says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." He brings us into a very unequal partnership in which we share all the resources of Christ, and our destiny is tied to his destiny, thank God. Paul says, God raised us up with Christ. His resurrection from death to life brings us from death to life. Just think about what the difference. Think about what the death and resurrection of Jesus actually accomplished and what it means for us today. And that's what we're celebrating today in just a few minutes. We are dead in sin, but Jesus took upon himself the punishment of our sin and paid the penalty of it for us. We were caught up in evil, but Jesus overcame the power of evil. We were slaves of our lower human nature, but Jesus came in flesh, remaining sinless and redeeming our flesh from corruption. We were under God's wrath, but Jesus showed that God has no desire for anyone to suffer his wrath. He will do almost anything to keep us from experiencing that. Those who accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior are alive in Christ. They've already begun their glorious life with him. And the passage goes on to say, we're just going to look at this last verse in verse 10, where it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In the beginning, God created people to bring glory to him. We read about that in chapter 1. He gave us abilities. He gave us work to do. And he has made us his agents for good in this world that we are a part of, this world that needs good. When sin disrupts our relationship with God, our ability to do good is corrupted. Sometimes we choose to do wrong things, and other times we fail to do as much good as we should do. Paul says that we are God's workmanship. Not only because God created us in the first place, but because we are recreated in Christ when we give our life to him. When God brings us into life through Jesus, we are recreated with the ability to do good. In fact, God already has chosen some good things for us to do, his word says. The gospel is that people who are dead in sin are saved so that they are alive in Christ and recreated for good. And that's good news. And that's what we come to celebrate today. This morning we're going to have the opportunity to hear from three men that have made this decision in their lives. The decision to follow Jesus Christ and the decision to be recreated in Jesus. Throughout the Gospels, we see that oftentimes people are give their lives to Christ and then are challenged to be baptized as an outward witness of that decision that they've already made to Jesus Christ. In fact, some of Christ's last words are the instructions for us to do just what we're doing today. In the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." So he's saying, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. These verses that we read this morning, those verse 8 and 9, I think it is. That's pretty much the gospel in 30 words, right? Share the gospel with others. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit's at work, and the Holy Spirit brings them into relationship with Jesus. And as that takes place, then the verse goes on. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey what I have said. So what we're doing today is really the fulfillment of a commandment. I'm excited this morning because we have three men that will be joining me up front in just a couple minutes here. And you're going to hear from each of these guys about their commitment to Jesus Christ and why it is that they've decided to be baptized today. So before they come up, let me just say this, because I know that there are people that are with us this morning that come from different backgrounds, different denominations, different faith backgrounds, and I just always like to take a minute to explain why it is that we're doing what we're doing today and some of the symbolism behind it. Many denominations, many faiths, you baptize as infants. In the Brethren in Christ, we do what's called infant dedication or child dedication, where the parent brings the child and commits themselves to raising their child in the faith that they know. For us, what we do is we do what's called believer's baptism, and that's what we're doing today. So once somebody gives their life to Christ, they make that decision to take that step of obedience and follow what Jesus commanded of being baptized. So that's what we're celebrating today, is believer's baptism. And the way that we'll do it this morning is behind me is the baptismal. And I'll go into the baptistry, and one of the candidates will come in with me. And they will end up kneeling down at the end of the baptistry. And the symbolism of that is just kneeling before our Heavenly Father. We come to our God in a place, He's in a place of reverence. So we kneel before Him. That's the symbolism there. Pretty simple. Once I ask them a couple of questions, I'm going to baptize them. I'm going to dunk them. For those that are more familiar with that, the way we do it is we do it three times forward. So I've done it once backwards. I've poured. I've done a whole bunch of different methods. The way we typically do it in the Brethren in Christ is we'll baptize three times forward. The reasoning behind that is it's the symbolism of recognition of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity. So we'll baptize Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the symbolism of the actual baptism going into being immersed into the water and coming out of the water is going into the water is the old life, and it is left there, it is behind, and coming out is a new life, that new creation that we just read about in the book of Ephesians. So simply put, today, I think that we are really privileged to be able to witness a public declaration of each of these candidates today. The declaration that they have committed their lives to Jesus Christ and that they are committed to living their lives differently as a result of that. So Rob and John and George, I'm going to have you guys come up here and join me up front. I'm going to move this out of the way. I'm going to guess that, yes, that those speakers could probably be moved just to make it a little bit better for people to see. All right, I'm going to give this to you first. So I'm going to ask you guys to simply share with us who you are, because not everybody in here knows who you are. So I'm going to ask you to share with us who you are and how long you've been coming to Fairland. We'll start with that.
Okay, my name is John, and I've been coming here for about 4 months.
My name is George Brightbill, and I've been coming here working almost on 2 years now.
I'm Rob Sigenfuss, and I've been coming since around February.
Hey, Rob, you hold on to that mic. Why don't you tell us when it is that you gave your life to Christ, and then also if you want to tell us today, I want to be baptized because.
Okay. It was shortly after the March 20th service here at Fairland, where Pastor Dustin had talked about having a new dream. And I decided then, even though I probably professed it before, that I wanted to give my life to Christ. And not only that, I asked Dustin to help me come up with a plan so I can stay committed and obedient as well. And thus far, the plan has, I've seen the fruitfulness of it, and I want to continue to see that, but it's been amazing.
George, we'll pass the mic to you. When is it you gave your life to Christ, and why is it that you want to be baptized today?
A little background. I gave my life to Christ. I was raised in the Lutheran Church. And I completed the catechism there, and that's when I gave my life to Christ. That's been quite a few years ago. And today I just want to seal that commitment with being baptized.
Same questions. When is it that you gave your life to Christ, and why is it that you want to be baptized today?
Back in 2019 is when it happened. And I give my life to Christ because I believe in faith and fellowship.
Awesome. All right, we're going to have you guys, if you want to come up onto the platform here. We're going to start, John, we're going to have you be baptized first. So if there's any family members or friends that have come to be a part of today, if you want to come up, you're more than welcome to come behind the baptistry so you can see it really well, as well as whoever is praying for John. So I think that is Megan, maybe. All right, John, I'll have you come on in. All right, I'm going to have you kneel down. John, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins?
Yes, I do.
Because of your faith in Jesus Christ and your longing to be obedient to him, is it your desire today to be baptized as an outward expression of your commitment to him?
Yes, I do.
Baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is something we celebrate here. Yeah. Give me a hug. Congratulations. You can stay here. Megan is going to go ahead and pray for you.
Father God, I just pray for John and his caring heart and his loving soul. I know you love him as much as I love him, and I pray that you continue to be with him the rest of his life as he continues to follow your ways and in the future be a loving husband and a father. And I just want to thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. And George, I'll have you come on down. If any family wants to come up, you're more than welcome to come up and come behind here so you can see exactly what's going on. It's not too cold, is it?
Nope.
We'll just give a minute here for the transition to take place.
Yeah, I got half the church with me.
That's awesome. Family's a wonderful thing. Family's a wonderful thing. You can just move the stand over if you need to there to make room. All right, George, I'm going to have you go ahead and kneel down. George, you believe that Jesus died for your sins?
Yes, I do.
Because of your faith in Jesus Christ and your longing to be obedient to him, is it your desire to be baptized today as an outward expression of your commitment to Jesus?
Yes, I do.
I baptize you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Congratulations,
Tom. Thank you.
And I think somebody's praying for George as well.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for George so much. We know that he dedicated his life to you a long time ago. And there's so much evidence of that from, being a Vietnam veteran to just his temperament and his family and his grandchildren. But he's obedient, and he looked at this and he said that you asked us to do this, and he was unsure that that was done properly. So here he is. And let's please bless him and continue to bless him in his journey with you. And let this be a sign to his family, and just that no matter what, we should obey your commands. All this we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We'll let your family kind of make your way off, and any family, friends that want to come as Rob is baptized, you can make your way up. So wonderful to have family and loved ones a part of these special moments in life. I'm going to have you kneel down, Rob. Rob, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins?
Yes, I do.
Because of your faith in Jesus Christ and longing to be obedient to him, is it your desire today to be baptized as an outward expression of your commitment to Jesus?
Yes, I do.
And it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy for you.
Thanks.
And Sebastian's going to pray for you here.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again this morning, and we just thank you so much for the life of Rob and that he has made this incredible decision here in front of everybody. Lord, over the last few months of getting to know Rob, one thing that he has is an unbelievable desire to know you and to love you. And it's just been amazing to walk with him a little bit through that journey through the last couple months. And thank you so much for guiding his life here to Fairland. And I just pray that as he makes this this decision and this public, declares this publicly, that we as a church can continue to just be there for him and build him up as he is now part of our family and a part of your family publicly. And we just thank you so much for that and for Rob. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once the stage is cleared off of people, if the worship team wants to come forward, avoid the baptistry and lead us in our closing song, that would be awesome.